It's always good to be able to laugh at yourself a little bit. Some of you know that the very first song I ever memorized was Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, and I learned that with my grandmother. Well, the very first song that I ever performed was the song that we just sang, Jesus is Lord of All. I sang it when I was, I think, 8 years old. I might have been 9 years old, and we were in a children's choir. And I remember that the children's choir teacher, her name was Mona Harrington, and she taught for just a little bit. She taught me how to form my E's and how to form my O's when I was singing. And we learned that song, and we learned a little song called Somebody's Knocking at Your Door, Jesus is Knocking at Your Door. And what was so funny about it is I got so into those songs, I was singing at the top of my lungs, and in the middle of the worship service, as we're singing this great performance, you know, I hear this snickering behind me, and there are these two girls, one of them was Mona Harrington's daughter, who were laughing at me because I was singing like literally in front of the entire Carnegie Hall. I mean, I was just belting it out and just drowning out everybody else's voices. So I will forever remember that song as my great debut in musical performances. Our scripture passage for this morning comes from the third chapter of Matthew. I'm going to begin with verse 13. This is the very beginning, and matter of fact, most scholars will say this is the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. This is the flashpoint that starts Jesus' ministry here on earth. This is the baptism of Jesus. So I invite you to follow along with me as I read. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. These are the words of God, and they are for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I tell you what, with Joel Osteen and Oprah Winfrey and the United States Army, it's a wonder that this passage is remembered at all anymore. You remember the great Army slogan, at least when I was growing up, be all that you can be in the Army. I wish I could have sung that for you, but I might have done it at the top of my lungs and broken the microphone, so I wasn't going to do that. But anyone who's ever watched Oprah knows that one of the main points of the show is to empower people to overcome obstacles, to reach their fullest potential, and to knock over anyone who stood in your way of accomplishing what you knew that God was calling you to do. And who could forget Joel Osteen's great book, Your Best Life Now, Seven Secrets to Living Life at Your Fullest Potential. And each of those paragons of personal wisdom had numerous precursors and spin-offs, inspirational speakers and pastors telling us that God's real intent is for us to be rich. Commercials telling us that our best life is ahead of us if we will just follow the green line and not veer off of the green line. Thank you, Fidelity. It's a part of our life, a part of our human spirit, and is a good part of our spirit that is always searching for more. This search has led to humanity's greatest accomplishments, not accepting the status quo as it is presented to us, has led to the greatest freedom movements in the history of the earth. from the biblical Exodus story to the Reformation to the Revolution that formed our country to the civil rights movements around the world in the 20th century. And that sense that we can look for and we can find more and that we can reach our fullest potential is why this passage that we read today is so important for us. On the surface, it's just a story of baptism. Jesus gets baptized. Scholars through the ages have asked why Jesus needed to be baptized, especially a baptism of repentance, which is what John the Baptist was offering. But it was such an important moment to those who told the story that it's one of only a few episodes that are included in all four of the Gospels. So we at least have to wrestle with this story a little bit and not just accept it as something that we read before a person is baptized in our church service. There's more to this story if we're willing to peel back that surface story of Jesus' baptism and begin to understand and wrestle with its meaning, not only for all of Christianity, but for our own life. And I want you to maybe count on your fingers how many times I use the word ponder today. My mom told me that I used it 5 times in less than 30 seconds last week. And so I'm trying to use other words. So if I use wrestle, what was really coming to my mind is ponder. But it's important for us to wrestle with these thoughts of baptism and what it means. So I looked at some commentaries. I sat with the scripture a little bit. I sort of let it sit and simmer with me. That's ponder. Throughout the week. And I came, I think, to my deepest understanding of this passage's power when I began to think through my own baptism and what it has meant to me. When we think of what baptism is all about in Baptist life, we call it a symbolic act, as if it was just a bunch of symbols, but it is a sacred moment. No mistake about it. Our baptism is full of all sorts of the presence of God and the presence of the community and the presence of our spirits that are ready and prepared for that new life that is offered to us. It is a powerful moment of experiencing life together and life with God and that intersection that takes place. Our commitments in our own personal life are shared publicly with those that are around us and those that matter to us, our family, the family of God. But the symbol of that moment is that we are walking down into the water, our old self, our old struggles, our old challenges, our old sort of stumbling blocks, all of the things that make up the life that was before. We walk down into that water and we hear the words that are offered to us. And the minister says something like, in my case, my dad, says something like, I baptize you now, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then in this incredible moment of vulnerability, we allow ourselves, having stripped off all of our clothes and wearing the baptismal robe, to have our hand held in the back of our head. Allow somebody to put their hand over our nose with a handkerchief for sanity, sanitariness. Ponder. And we give up our strength. And we participate in a trust fall. Trusting that as we are submersed in the water, as we are covered by the water, as we relinquish the control, physical control, of our bodies. That God is doing something in us. Corey used the words of cleansing and forgiveness. The washing away of what has been. And that as we are raised up, we are raised up as a new creation. Somebody new. We're still the person that we were. I was still Sonny Gallman. I was still going to school. I was still going to confront all of the challenges and all of the struggles that were a part of life. But I was going about that life knowing that God was present with me, knowing that I was renewed in some way, knowing that I was a new creation, that I had been baptized into a new life. We can go really big and cosmic and say that we're baptized into citizenship in the kingdom of God. We're no longer citizens to that mortality, that sense of helplessness and mortality that's a part of our life. We are now baptized into a sense of eternity, participating in something that is bigger than us, something that is broader than us, something that is grander than us. We are a new creation. We are living in a new realm. And as I thought about that significance and that symbolic act in my own life, I thought about what it must have been like for Jesus. Jesus was a part of that divine presence. Scriptures tell us in John 1 that nothing was created in all of the world that was not created through the Word who became flesh. Scriptures tell us that Jesus comes from that divine kingdom, that divine presence. And he makes his way to John at the Jordan River, that same Jordan River where Naaman had found his ultimate healing. That same Jordan River that the Israelites had to pass over in order to enter into the promised land. That same Jordan River where Jesus, the Son of God, gave up that sense of power, gave up that physical control of his life, and let go. And where we are baptized into the kingdom of God. Jesus was baptized into life here on earth to dwell among us. This is Matthew's version of the Word made flesh. And Jesus didn't do this out of a sense of obligation. Jesus didn't do this out of a sense of I must do this. Jesus did this out of a sense of calling to all of humanity, to all of us. Jesus chose to be baptized and immersed and came up as the Lord and Savior of all humanity. And the Scriptures tell us that He did it out of His love for you and me. What a powerful passage for us. Jesus could have been the poster child of be all that you can be. But he chose to be baptized out of righteousness. And he came out of the water as one of us. Matter of fact, the very next passage about Jesus is the passage that talks about his temptation. That talks about the very real temptation that Jesus faced. To exercise his power over all of the earth. And in a great moment of the anti-army, anti-Oprah Winfrey, anti-Joel Osteen, Jesus chose not to be all that he could be. He chose to be Savior for you and for me because of His great love for us. And did you notice what happened after Jesus was baptized? God says, "This is my Son. This is the Beloved with whom I am well pleased." This baptism of Jesus has power in our lives to let go of all of the things that we want to be and to be the presence of God for those that are looking at us face to face, to be the presence of God in the communities in which we find ourselves, to be the presence of God at the grocery store and at the bank, to be the presence of Christ in our families, to our children, to our parents, to be the presence of Christ to one another within the walls of this church, to be the presence of Christ with those who walk up and down the streets Monday through Friday. We have the ability to choose that path, because that's what Jesus did for us. This baptism that we share in, this baptism of vulnerability, this baptism of new life, is the most empowering thing that we can experience. And knowing that Jesus gave his life for us gives us new life as citizens of the same kingdom that Jesus proclaimed, the kingdom of God. So I invite you this week, take a moment and ponder your journey of faith. Reflect back on your baptism, reflect back on your commitment to Jesus and to the life of the church. Allow that to begin to determine the power that resides within you, that ability that you have to be the hands and feet of Christ in the world. And ponder the baptism, I said it. Ponder the baptism of Jesus, who gave himself for people like you and like me. What wondrous love is this, O my soul? Let's pray together. Our God, these five verses that speak of your baptism are the flashpoint where you began your earthly ministry, where you experienced the commission of God to be the Son of God in the world. We pray that as this community of faith has the opportunity to reflect on our own individual baptisms, as we have an opportunity to reflect on the commitments that we have made as a community of faith, we pray that we would see in those moments the joyful self-limiting that we give to ourselves, that you gave to yourself to be the presence of God in the world, to stand with those who are hurting, not above the fray, but with the fray. We pray that we would think on and wrestle with what it means to be baptized into the kingdom of God. That we would be willing to make that commitment even today if it's for the first time or the thousandth time, to be washed and refreshed and remade in your image. May we find the vulnerability in our faith to give up control and to be immersed in the things of your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.